Why is my mom texting me?
Because you ate her beef tips.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on digital stream radio, where you can listen live every Monday, typically, usually 6 or 6:30, but today it's 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we're going to welcome back Dr. Evan Goldstein of Bespoke Surgical for this month's Tales from the Tale. Today's topic, do doctors ask the right questions about someone's sexual history? My name is Tom, and I'm your host. And as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
So we have a silent person in studio that's going to be with us throughout the whole show. So you're going to see them in the background over here. But, you know, it's Chris's significant other. Is that okay to say?
Yes.
Okay, good. Then there you go.
He's a keeper.
He's a keeper. Sassy, I love him, by the way. But anyway, welcome back.
Idea.
Another week, and it's, 2 weeks into the new year, and it's just been an incredible, crazy 2 weeks. A lot of things going on. Everything is happening all at once. But nonetheless, we're still here, and we have not gone to war yet. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, welcome back. I'm going to toss it over
what
to
a
my
positive
boys.
Note.
Yeah, right?
Hey, everybody. We're not at war.
Well, that's positive. That's a good thing. So we're just going to, you know, quickly talk about weekends and see how everything went. So I'm going to toss it over to my boys. We'll start with you, Trish. How are you and how was your weekend?
I'm fine.
Okay.
I had a good weekend. I ended up having to work Friday and Sunday. So Saturday, I basically slept the day away. I mean, I got back from a 2 week vacation after driving for 20 something hours, went straight back to work. And on Saturday, I could not move. I'm telling you, age is really getting to me.
But you got to see your family and, you know, and it was all good though.
It was wonderful. Yeah.
And you got to have an amazing road trip with your brother, who, if I remember correctly, is the best person to travel with, correct?
Sure. Yeah, he's terrible.
And, you know, he walked into the studio with a turtleneck. You know, he's trying to evidently hide something that supposedly shows on camera.
It's my double chin, motherfucker.
you're sitting more stiff than I am. I can't even turn my head.
Yeah, well, it's weird wearing a turtleneck because I feel like I can't move my neck. But at the same time, it's such a cute sweater. So, like, I'm going to wear
it. It is cute.
So, funny story. I wore this last week and I came home and Pat was, at the house. And he's like, oh, my God, that's a really cute sweater. And then he saw that it was a turtleneck. He's like, huh. Well, it makes you look thin everywhere else. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. I mean, let's be honest. A turtleneck, it's going to, like, protrude, you know. I got a little bit of a double chin. Not something I'm working on. I'm not proud of.
That's okay.
Own it.
Yeah.
It's yours.
And I do. I'm owning it with a turtleneck.
Mm-hmm. I think a little bit of, you know, therapy of some sort could take care of.
I used to do this thing where I used to, like push out my jaw.
You can't do jaw kegels. Jaw
helping. Kegels. It definitely wasn't.
He's like...
literally
running around town trying to do jaw kegels
in the middle of leadership training.
Does it work?
No.
Mm-mm.
No, it builds the muscle and pushes the fat out.
Work that throat.
So yeah, cool. And Chris, how was your weekend besides eating your mother's beef tips?
I meant to have one.
You meant to have one?
Yes, I just meant to have one.
Yeah. You slipped.
Yeah, you know, but again,
into the whole fucking plate. But yeah, sure.
It's my mom, so you know, you have to expect to give up your beef tips when the kid's over. Mm. So, no, I worked all weekend. Crazy, crazy busy. Just, yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you brought a companion with you into the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So you were up in Massachusetts, I would assume, right?
Yes, we were up in Massachusetts.
Did you do anything fun? Besides visit parents and eat your mother's beef tips?
Well, I met his father yesterday. That was a fun experience.
Mm.
That
interesting.
Was, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Interesting. As a matter of fact, yes. Interesting. It was.
So tell me all about it.
Yeah. Thank you. I'd rather
I'm
not.
I'm over here probing like a bitch, and he's just like,
"You brought it up."
Uh-huh.
Yeah, good point. Did. Yeah. No. No. But we kind of just hung out, and just it was a chill, chill week. I haven't been home in a week. So, you know, I walked into a disaster in the kitchen. You know, what's new?
Oh.
Yeah. So that was my weekend.
Well, at least you had something to do when you got home, right?
Clean.
Yeah.
Me, I just come showered on, and I came over here. Cinderella, my fucking ass. Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. That's cool. I mean, it's always fun to take little road trips here and there. And then yeah. when you come back with a bonus, that's even better.
Oh, so, bonus. Oh, yes.
That's a huge bonus.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, how huge?
See what we go through.
And welcome to Gay Talk, everybody.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
We're here, we're queer. Hello.
That's right. So I,
speaking of beef tips.
Climb Tom Mountain.
Mount Tom.
Mount Tom. There you go. Anyway, no, my weekend was just pretty much me being neurotic as always. I decided that I was going to rip off the molding of my window in the bathroom.
It looks so much better.
Which was all brown and old and very 60s. And so I ripped it all off. I put in all new molding. I painted it all white. And then I'm like, all right, this is not going to go. Now I have to paint the whole bathroom. That turned into I'm changing everything. So I bought a new light fixture. I bought a new fan with a speaker in it. And it's so cool. It's like Bluetooth. You can listen to music while you're showering now. And it's so silent. And yeah, it turned into this like almost, you know, $700 or $800 job because now I have to have an electrician come in and move my light over because I want it to align over the vanity rather than in the middle of the freaking wall. And it became this whole big thing. So
Gay Talk credit card.
I know. And so that's the sort of kind of things that I get into. I start projects and then they become these huge things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. And so upstairs looks like a bomb went off. There's caulking and glue and tools and stuff all over the place and boxes. And I ordered these three cute little things. So the theme is going to be beach for the bathroom. So it's going to be a very light blue. And I bought all these little like plaques that say like beach. And
is it going to be like a gay beach, like a nude beach or just like?
There already are. So, there is the picture of the naked men. So running yeah. on a beach.
Oh, we should put that in there. Let's frame it.
That is in there, isn't it?
No, not yet. It's going in there.
Oh.
So it's a nude beach.
Yeah. Okay.
And, well, duh. I mean, you could, you know, be nude sitting on the toilet or nude in the bathtub. So, but yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's what I spent most of my weekend doing, going in and out of Home Depot and Lowe's.
Meanwhile, I'm still waiting for my hot tub.
Yeah, I know. It'll get there eventually. I just need to figure out what the hell I'm going to do. I may want to add an addition, so if I put a hot tub in, then we got to move it out. And
yeah, you know. Well, until you figure that out.
So she just wants a motherfucking hot tub.
Thank you.
I know. I might get you a portable one. Is that okay?
No, I don't want one of those blow up.
I was going to say, get her like one of those little playhouse, the little blue, like kiddie pools. Get her one of those. She can just boil some water ahead of time.
We can blow it up and put it inside the
seashell. Oh, that one.
I can't. No.
Yeah, and then you can go in there and, you know, do whatever you want.
You have solar power now. We could fucking just go for it.
Well, we could. And actually, speaking of solar, I finally got my permission to operate on January 2nd.
So if we cut out, it's because we lost power.
Yeah, exactly.
So my solar power is actually working.
It's pretty cloudy today.
I am doing my part to save the environment and generate and use clean energy.
While you drive that behemoth truck.
Don't cut my truck. It's gotten us to and from every single event we've ever had.
Yeah, but it kind of hurt me a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
It hurt me
you
too.
Were stupid.
Oh, yeah. No, you fucking got like tetanus all in your leg.
Yeah,
when you
that thing like
on that.
Beat me up.
Yeah. I cannot.
And that shit beat me up too. Like all I asked was, can you please let me throw up safely outside of a church? And then, of course, you had me thrown in the back and beat up the whole ride home.
Well, you
Melissa, swear. We love you, girl.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
I don't want to go. Can we stay?
Get in the car, Chris.
I was like, and then we were carrying the cooler, and he's like, I'm going sideways. He's going sideways. And there's like this whole group of guys behind us. I hope he's driving.
Look, all I see is Tom and Chris walking out, and Tom's getting annoyed. He's got the cooler behind him. Next thing I know, Tom picked up Chris. He's holding him under one arm and dragging the cooler behind him. I'm like, oh, there it is.
I'm a keeper.
So Chris started off in the front seat, and he's like, I want to go in the back seat and sleep. I'm like, Chris, there's a whole bunch of stuff back there because I was doing repairs in the house. And so there's all these tools and pipes and wood, and he's like, I don't care. And so he just jumps over while I'm driving and just literally just
wedges himself in between everything that was back there, and all you could hear is, ow, 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 ow.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah. Then we get to the house, and I have to literally, like, drag him out. Now, mind you,
She staged the whole fucking thing.
She definitely did.
Oh, yeah. I set up that the camera and everything.
The camera was, like, secured so you can get, like, the whole shot.
Oh, of course.
He, like, comes stumbling out. I'm fine. I'm going home. I want my Chinese.
That's what it was. It was like,
no.
I got stir fry in the fridge.
And then we had ordered a sandwich. We did. And so he started eating it in the front seat before he jumped in the back.
Yeah.
And he took, like, two or three bites out of it. Then we stopped at a church because he had to throw up. He throws up, throws a sandwich on the floor. Then goes and dumps in the back and passes out for the whole hour and 40-minute drive. And then when he gets home, when we get to the house here, he literally just looks at, oh, sandwich, and starts eating it all. And I'm like, and then he goes, you want some?
I was just about to say, at least I was polite. I offered you some of my floor sandwich.
After he had thrown up. Yeah. Like, I can't.
No thanks. And in all of this, he kept saying, I was not throwing up. I was heaving.
Dry heaving. I was dry heaving. Nothing actually came up. So that was mustard on the sandwich, not dried vomit.
So you know what we haven't talked about yet?
What?
How's everybody's New Year been so far? Like, how's 2020 shaping up?
Well, we did a whole episode on that. You weren't here, honey.
No, I mean, but you like were... how like now we're in 2020. Like,
that's right.
How's it shaping up?
Well, I mean, as Barbara Walters would say, it's happening. We're here.
Yeah.
We're in a new decade.
We are.
Right?
And Betty White is still alive.
Thank God.
Yay, so, Betty.
Because it's weird because, you know, we got through, well, I was running around in bars and stuff for Y2K, which was 1999 into 2000. Then 2010 came along, and that really was a very uneventful decade. Right? Like, no one made a big deal about. And then all of a sudden, 2020's here, and we're like, holy shit. You know, you start to think about all those things that were written 20, 30, 40 years ago about what we would expect to have in 2020. And then when you look back, it's like, none of it is still here. Like, we still don't have a flying car.
Yeah, that was, I believe the movie was Blade Runner. That was set in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2019 hit, and we're like, why is my car still on the ground?
My point.
Bullshit.
And so
we have self-driving cars, but they're driving right into the side of the road.
Exactly. Yeah,
or someone. But, you know, it's very weird to think that, you know, for me, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, it was still the 90s. And it's just fucking weird.
Mm.
Yeah, but I think it's okay. I mean, we've gotten off. I mean, on a personal level, I think I've gotten off on the right foot. As a nation, I think we're still sort of kind of dealing with the fucktard
as a
that's
world,
in office.
A hot mess.
Also, yeah. I just need to point out that you said 10, 15 years ago was the 90s. That's not true. But
I know it's
hard.
Not true, but 20, for me, perception, when I think about 10 or 15 years ago, I'm thinking of the 90s. I don't think about 2000s or the 2010s. Like, 15 years ago for me was 1995. It's so fucking weird, right? And so when you guys
wasn't
think
even
about,
born yet,
I think you were a sperm in someone's balls. But yeah, I don't know. It's just weird. It's just weird. I don't see myself as old as I am, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So I've had a weird start to the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do tell.
Okay.
Because I know you want to.
Yeah, no, totally. So 2020, I'm feeling great. Like, I'm feeling so good. I think work's going really well. Like, I have this, like, weirdly positive attitude. But these things keep happening. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a thing. It happened. So, for example, I consolidated all my student loans. And on my government website, when you go on, it says I have about $6,000 left to pay off. And so I'm like feeling really good. And then I get a phone call from my HR director saying that my wages are being garnished because I didn't pay a student loan. So I had consolidated through this one company and all the payments were automatic. And I thought the two different payments were going one federal, one private. And that wasn't the case.
Oh.
No idea. So my wages are being garnished until March. And I'm like, okay, that happened. Moving on. Can't do anything about it.
That happened to me.
But I mean, like, I set it up. It's all fixed. It's all squared away. I mean, it's not like a lot of money. It's not going to like break the bank. It's going to be tough.
Oh, it broke my fucking bank.
But it's fine. And then a couple of days ago, I'm on the phone. I get a phone call from my ex, who I love dearly, from Mass. And we were together for a long time. We're still good friends. And we talked for about 2.5 hours on the phone. And he's been with the same guy for about 5 years now. They're super happy. I'm not going to get into their relationship because that's inappropriate. But he told me over the phone that he's never loved anybody the way he's loved me. And he misses me. And I was like, okay, so that happened. Okay. And I love him. Like, I would probably, yeah, you all know. I'm a mess. So I'd probably go back. But anyway, that's beside the point. So anyway, another ex who I recently helped in a situation of need.
Did you pop open a chest somewhere in your room?
I don't know what I did. People out? I don't know what happened okay. But so I was like, all right, I'm going to help you this one time. Get out of the situation that you're in. If you go back to this situation, please leave me alone. Or, you know, I'm not coming back. I'm not going to help you. So I get a text message saying, hey, what's going on? You know, miss you, like, would love to get together or whatever. And I was like, yeah, let's hang out sometime. He's like, well, it's a little tough. I live in, you know, New York now. And I was like, excuse me? With who? Same fucking person that threw him out in the rain. Mm. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to put that down. Moving on. And then I'm fucking going to all these events lately, and I'm being asked to be on all these committees for all these different things. And I'm like, what the hell is going on in my life? My professional life is, like, great. Personal life? Hot fucking mess.
It's always been that.
I was going to say, what's different in 2020?
And then I had a Steve call me his soulmate, and I was like, I got to go.
Oh, Lord.
But I'm super positive. It's weird. I don't know what's going on.
Well, that's amazing. Well, you know, I think 2 weeks away from everything usually does good to sort of kind of reground yourself. And so you probably came back with a fresh attitude, not having to deal with, you know, the everyday thing of life, right? Like, life throws shit at you all the time, and you don't have a choice but to, you can't dodge it, right? Mm-hmm. You just have to deal with it. And so when you remove yourself from your element for 2 weeks, like you did, you were home, you went away, you were traveling. Didn't you go to, like, a Fort Lauderdale?
For a hot minute.
Yeah, but you were away. I think that sort of kind of does something to reground you in a positive way.
Maybe.
So you came back with a fresh perspective.
I guess so, because I'm like, keep on throwing the curveballs. I'm just going to try to catch them. If I don't, whoops.
Yeah. Well, if you don't catch them, hit them with the bat.
2020, it's going to be my year?
That's right.
Year? Question mark?
Could be.
Surely.
You never know. Why not? We all deserve a little something good. You know,
oh, wait. Right? And then I forgot. I did one of those quizzes online for, if you're ever going to get married.
No.
And it said I'm better off single. So I was like, all right, here we go.
That's the truth. I mean, you've got me as your getaway person. Like, literally, I would be invited to the wedding, but I have to wait outside in the getaway car.
No, it just has to be running.
Yeah.
Running. Oh, so I can come inside. I just have to run with you.
Yeah, you have to sit in the back.
This fat bitch can't be running.
That's why you got to sit in the back.
Oh, that just made me think. I'll still never forget it. When Liz took like an hour and a half to fill out her eHarmony profile and she hit submit, no known matches. I was like, oh, poor thing.
So what are you thinking 2020 is going to be like?
Well,
for you?
The thing that's hit me the most so far is the first meal, the first dinner that I made of this year. No, that's what I stole. The first dinner I prepared this year was for my boyfriend and his mother, and it nearly darn killed me. I made us vegan sausages.
Well, that's the problem right there.
No, but I literally was like dying. I was having like an allergic reaction, like they were getting ready to drive me to the hospital.
For vegan
bucket
sausages?
Of problems.
Bucket of problems. That's
what
right.
are you allergic to?
He needs a life alert.
You know, that was a good point. That was a good point.
In the vegan world, what are you allergic to?
I have no fucking idea. All I know is I made the first meal I made of this year almost killed me.
Betty White's going to outlive you.
Betty White is going to outlive all of us, but definitely me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. So there's that. What else? I mean, you're going to school. You're graduating soon, right?
Well, I'm a junior now. I have enough credits to be considered a junior. So I'm going to be doing one more semester at Gateway. I'm getting that 4.0. And I'll be starting at a university in the spring and the fall.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. I could start substitute teaching this year. You know, I wouldn't have thought that 2 years ago.
You know how early that is?
He should come with a warning. I'm just letting you guys know right now.
But I'm going to be a good fucking teacher, no matter what.
I'll tell you one thing. Your child will come out screaming, you know, German terminology.
They'll have opinions. They'll have opinions.
Very, very heavy opinions.
I'm going to be a great teacher.
I agree. I think you would be a great teacher.
I think he's good with kids. He's good with my babies.
Mm-hmm.
So, Good.
Yes.
Well, good. Well, I'm excited for you, right? Because at this point, I remember when we first started the show, we were just like bothering, like, Chris, when are you going to go to school? Mm-hmm. When are you going to school? You're like, eventually I'll get there. And then he finally did it.
And it's a pain in the ass.
Yes, yeah. It fucking is.
And you're halfway through. We got to change our time again.
Oh, that's a funny thing you brought that up.
Don't even. I will shut the mic off.
But you're halfway through, and that's the important thing, is to know that, you know, like,
halfway through my undergrad.
Yeah, but you're halfway through.
Right.
That's the point. You are literally halfway through something.
Mm-hmm.
You took the initiative of starting, and you're almost there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome. You know, and that deserves recognition, and deserves a congratulations.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome. Savor it, because you're not going to get many. All right, so I know that we have Dr. G coming on to the show, and we do have some stories that we're going to cover, but obviously, for the sake of time, making sure that we get him on time, we're going to take a quick break. But when we do come back, let me get the setup over here, because you know me, I'm always late with something.
Mm-hmm. Intern.
When we do come back, we're going to have the great doctor join us. We're going to be talking about some great conversations about things that doctors should be asking their patients and vice versa. What is it that their patients should be telling their doctors? And it's going to be really amazing. So stick around. Here's some music. We will be right back.
It's hard to see you with a man you call your friend, but in the end, I know I don't have much time to tell you why I wanna die, but then I cry, so then I lie, so I don't make you bend time. Cause if you
welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Time by the incredible Pat Riley, who has been a guest on the show before. Of course, his voice is very smooth and lovely. And we love playing his song because he's just great. And thank you for
sticking with us. We are back now from our break. Joining us, of course, is none other than Dr. Evan Goldstein of Bespoke Surgical for this month's Tales from the Tail. Hi, Dr. G.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. What's up?
So I'm a little upset because I'm missing my white lab coat. What happened?
Oh, no, I just came back from surgery. I came in, I'm ready to do this, and I'm ready to bounce out. So white coat tonight.
We did not know. Well, hopefully everything's okay. We could have rescheduled.
We did know. That's why we rescheduled this.
Oh, okay. That's why we rescheduled.
Or so.
Well, she knew.
She didn't
communicate that to the rest of us.
It's all good. Why are you wearing such a turtleneck? What's up? You got a hickey?
She's hiding her double
because
chin.
Because I'm fucking adorable, Dr. G. That's why. Anyway, missed you. Happy New Year.
Did you wash those hands?
I washed those hands, especially for you.
It's not as tight as it once was. Anyway, Dr. G, how were your holidays?
It was good. It was good. Back to the grind, you know, a couple of weeks off, which is good, but back to the ass, which is all fun and good. And here we go. What are we talking about today, by the way?
So today, I thought it would be a good idea. This is actually an older Tales from the Tail. It was from December 12th, 2017, but this is about doctors asking the right questions about sexual history. And I thought moving into the new year, it would be a great time to kind of reiterate to our listeners what kind of questions their doctors should be asking and what kind of things that they should be looking for when they're looking for a doctor.
I think that's exactly right. 2020. A new you, new ass. It's perfect.
Well, hopefully.
Keep your hole intact. So,
if you're this one, hopefully it didn't go through a meat mincer, but yes, go.
It's healing. So do you want to give us a brief rundown about this story?
Yeah, I mean, I must say I don't actually know the story entailed. I think I know more of what it's stemming from. Do you have the story in front of you?
I do.
We do.
It's about a PhD student who runs into one of their old high school boyfriends, and they kind of reignite a fling, and then they have some, you know, party time sexual endeavors, and then he finds himself in a bloody situation and goes to the doctor, and then you did a study about the correct questions the doctors were or were not asking.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's super common for me. You know, when I first started this business, I thought everybody talked about sex and everybody was able to just have the same conversations that we're having all the time, because I find that it's so easy to do it. But then I started to realize that that's not the case. It's actually the minority of people that are willing to talk about sex or go to places that they don't feel comfortable talking about, or not having the right answers for it, but being able to try and figure out and say, hey, how am I in my practice going to make sure that everybody has access to the appropriate information? So I did a study that showed that even in our LGBT world, 92% of practitioners did not feel comfortable or do not talk about sex with their patients.
Now,
why
do you find, like, how did you find that they don't feel comfortable versus don't talk about it?
I think a combination of both, that we were asking questions and kind of figuring out where people are in terms of it. And the comfort level from all those discussions would vary, where it start, if you were going more into kink, people didn't want to go down that road. And it stemmed for me, which was because medicine is a referral practice, it's relying on the primary care physician to ask the right questions. And not only, hey, you know, how do you identify or do you identify, but how are you engaging sexually? Are you happy with where you currently are? And then also I get all the time like, oh, I'm identified as a top. Well, are you identified as a top because bottoming hurts? Or is it mentally that it's something that you don't want to do, and it's just, and you're fine with that? And the majority of people actually say the first, that if they had a good experience or they didn't hurt during anal penetration, that they would bottom more so. But again, you're your primary care physician doesn't even talk about it. So right. you don't even know that actually there potentially is room for improvement, or that there are surgeons like me or other people that are able to push people into the direction that they want to mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Which brings up, that brings up a really good point, because in the article, it talks a little bit about sexuality, like what your sexuality is versus what your doctor's sexuality is. Do you think it's important for gay men to have gay doctors, and or lesbian women to have lesbian doctors? I mean, is that something that's important that will facilitate these conversations in a better way?
I do. I mean, I think it's, again, it's just like-minded individuals. And I think that, you know, do I think there are definitely straight practitioners that hit the mark and are able to understand the sensitivities of a community? Absolutely. But again, it's more of like, if I'm going to sit with somebody and I'm going to talk about, you know, cock and ass and licking and playing, and I would like them, I would like to know that they're behind the asshole too every once in a while, you know?
Well, I mean, that's a very good point, because even when it came for me seeing my primary care physician, I never talked about sex, and sex was never brought up, to be honest, on their part or my part. I didn't feel comfortable discussing it with someone that was not of the same sexual identity, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that there are definitely going to be people that no matter what will feel comfortable disclosing and talking about all of their issues or the, all their sexual escapades. And obviously, those, it's amazing. The problem is that even if you divulge all that information as a patient, is the practitioner going to be able to actually help you? Or do they have those sensitivities to understand all of those issues as it relates to getting you to where you want to be? And the reality is that I'm not sure. I keep being quite disappointed with all, you know, hearing over and over and over the same thing of not only primary care physicians, but even surgeons. You know, the proctologist's view is if you are shitting correctly, you're fine.
Right.
And that really limits so much sexual exploration, and it doesn't allow for fruitful engagements, and that just sucks. It doesn't have to be that way.
So with this story aside, I want to like pause the story, but when I walk into my physician's office, what are some of the basic questions that they should be asking me? And if they're not, I should be probing for, so that I know that I'm getting the appropriate amount of not only sexual health, but like general health as a gay man.
Yeah, I usually like to tell people to, and I love the word probe.
I know, I was going to say good choice of word there.
It's a great probing word. I think I would rather you, or as a you know, as a client, let the office dictate the first evaluation to see where they are. That's me personally. Some people want to drive, and that's fine. But I'm curious to see, like, one, do they on their forms? Are their forms sensitive to 2020 in terms of how you're filling them out with pronouns? And, you know, identifying factors and asking certain questions. You know, if I went to someone and it's like, you know, Mr. and then it asks you your significant other and it's a Mrs., you know, and you're like, you know what? That's not right at this current point. You know, there's partners and there's other ways to approach it. So I think even before you step foot into the office, you're able to see the dynamic of how they're, you know, engaging with you, for you to feel as if, oh, hey, you know what, that there, it's a super comfortable environment before you even walk in there. Then when I walk in, I want to see that those are not only kind of on the questionnaires, is it tended towards the community, but as people are engaging with you and talking to you, especially the practitioner, it's more of, you know, how do you identify? Great. Do you have blood pressure? What's your medical issues? What's your surgical issues? Are they going into sexual history? Are they asking you questions as it relates to your partnerships or how you're engaging? And I let them kind of dictate until the point where you realize that, like, hey, they're actually not tending to what my needs are. And then hopefully you have enough knowledge from what we've been talking about here where you can say, hey, by the way, I identify as this. this is how I am engaging sexually. These are some of the issues that are going on with me, or I want to know more about X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And hopefully through this podcast and listening to and reading all the stuff that we do at Bespoke, it's kind of empowering you to say exactly where you are and where you want to go, but knowing that you may be disappointed with, unfortunately, the knowledge on the other side, and it may not jive with what you want.
And, you know, you tee that up so nicely. So speaking of that knowledge on the other side, on the doctor's side, you obviously are at the forefront of sexual wellness and being inclusive in all of your patients and making sure that they get a really, really good understanding of what all the possibilities are for their sexual health. But not all doctors are like you, right? You specifically identify as an LGBTQ member of our community, and you are a doctor, and you're asking all the right questions, and you probe your people that come in to see you. Is there any type of initiative among the doctor community in where you were making an initiative to make sure that what you're doing is sort of kind of spreading out into all other areas of the medical field? Is there something active going on where you would coach other doctors into understanding what the needs are of the LGBT community?
100%. You know, people reach out to me all the time. People shadow me either here or in the LA office. I think a lot of the medical schools and surgical training programs are changing, right? Mm-hmm. For the better. And the more out we are and the more, you know, practitioners that take the oath that do subscribe to the LGBT communities, the forward progress that we're actually going to achieve. And I think that, you know, when I was training in surgery 25 years ago, it was few and far between of anyone that would even come out. Now I see tons of younger individuals being who they are, which is so great. And that in and of itself is going to push the narrative. But when you look at curriculums, they're definitely out there and it's happening. I think the key component is it's a transition from HIV management, which is what we were all trained with, which was, oh, you're gay. Okay, you need to learn about HIV, right? But now it's especially because HIV is such a chronic disease, and there's obviously through PrEP and all these other things, it's taken away the stigma from an HIV to being subscribed to the gay community, where now we're the first living out generation of gays that are living. Mm-hmm. And because of that, all these different issues are coming to the forefront, and it requires a lot of different initiatives in order for people to get the exact education and also the exact care that they need to. And I think it's stuff just perfectly like with you guys. I think it's the popular press. It's talking about it. It's podcasts. It's really, really making sure that the narrative hits home. And again, I don't think that everyone needs to know everything, because again, even with me, there's certain things that I don't know, but you need to know who does. And you need to know as a practitioner that, okay, I may not be the best person for you as a primary care physician because of X, Y, and Z, but this is the person that I think would help you the best. And that to me shows so much credibility of someone to say, I may not be the best or I may not know, but understanding that if people keep asking them these same questions, that you as a practitioner should go and take these courses and learn so that you can provide all of this stuff to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm. So we know that you're obviously a butt surgeon, but you do way more than that. Do you consider yourself primary care as well?
No.
No.
No, primary care. Anal surgeon can definitely tend to and take care of anal health. STD management and evaluation. But again, I think it's a team approach, especially here in New York. You know, we have a ton of, you know, gay practitioners. We call ourselves the gay mafia of doctors. and we get together, all the time, quarterly at least. And I think because of that, everybody has really great working relationships, that everybody understands what their strengths are and also understands what their weakness is. And how do we pick up the phone? How do we communicate, make sure that everybody is getting the best possible care. I think, you know, we'll get into PrEP and HPV and all that other stuff and STD management. Those are basic standard stuff. So it's more of, you know, making sure that everyone's complete package fits with where they want to be, right? And also making sure that they're aware that there are resources that are out there besides the STD exposure, but, you know, just more of care, sexuality, evaluating your own self. Where are you now? It changes as we age. It changes as we go through relationships, making sure that that emotional connectivity is exactly where it should be. And if not, how do we get all the parties together to make sure that people live the life that they want, whatever it is, with zero judgment, no bias, and just being open in terms of discussing.
So I know I've talked about this previously, but I recently switched to a primary care that is, he's amazing. He is a gay doctor, but my first session with him was just over about an hour long. And I mean, he dove into everything with me. I didn't even really have to ask the questions because he was asking all the things that needed to be asked. There were a couple things I asked, of course, but how long should, if you're looking for a new primary care, how long should that first exam be, that first session? What's normal?
Yeah, most new visits range from about 40 minutes to about an hour. And the majority of any visit, realistically, probably 75% is more the history taking and asking all of those questions. And asking those questions just starts to put people's risk into specific categories where we're able to figure out, okay, well, where do they fall in line with what we're able to deliver? And again, you know, speaking from a PrEP perspective, speaking from just a sex perspective of what's their risk from an STD, from an HIV, and analyzing all of that. Once you start getting into that, you really start to see their practices, and then you're able to dictate care. Right. Most of the time, you don't even need to do a physical exam. Just from a discussion, you could figure out where you're at and how you need to manage it.
So the gay mafia of doctors, is that bi-coastal or just in New York?
It's everywhere. Okay. We're everywhere.
Well, that's amazing. I think that's important because you're going to see people that are in dire need, right? And then you'll be able to, that's what you do, I assume, suggest certain doctors for their future follow-up, correct?
Correct.
Well, I think that, you know, people need to look at it in this way. When you are going to see a primary care physician for the first time or you're searching for one, you're an employer. You're going to pay these people, whether it's through insurance or through a copayment, you're making payment for services. And I think that you need to approach your visit with a primary care physician as an interview. You're interviewing someone to do a job that you need done. And so if you feel right away, when you walk into a room, if you don't connect with someone and you feel something is off, you have a right to just walk away and go somewhere else. And I think we need to start looking at our primary care physicians, the people who provide us a service that we're paying for, and that you need to make sure that you understand what you should be looking for. And if you don't see that, then this may not be the person for you, right? It doesn't always fall on the doctor to be that person, but the patient should also take some responsibility in knowing what their needs are and finding someone that can meet them.
Right. That's an important responsibility on the patient side, but then it's also important to do, as Dr. G was saying, practice medicine as a referral practice, which is important as well.
Yeah, no, but I think, you know, like, we're blessed, right? We're in New York, LA, you guys are in Bumblefuck, whatever.
Oh, please.
with that being said, I think there are plenty of places in the world where people don't have access to care. And I think nowadays, obviously with the internet and Instagram and all of these educational tools that we're doing at both Bespoke and Future Method, I think you could have access. And so, yes, you know, your primary care in your rural area may be able to give you X, Y, and Z from a flu and blood pressure and all of this. But just know that there is a sexual piece that should come with that. And if you can't get access there, that either you go to that, or you can telemedicine, or you could reach out via so many other ways to make sure that you're doing everything that you can.
Well, so you say telemedicine and resources. Are there anything, any specific resources that you would suggest, like outcarehealth.org? I know that that's something that people use.
I think a lot of people use that. I do think that now most practitioners will do Skype calls and have availability to discuss. Also DM, I mean, my Instagram is like ass all the time. And so people write me and send pictures of like, you know, this happened, that happened. There's access to it where and when you need it. It's just a matter of making sure that you're picking and choosing, obviously, where you can get that access. Also, there's tons of people that just say, you know what, I'm going to go for this type of care in certain cities that I know that the LGBTQ care is exactly what it should be. And nowadays, if you're in a good system, once a year, full evaluations is a must. And then that spearheads the entire year. And, you know, you can make a special trip to the people that you know are going to be able to take you where you want to go and provide that care. And now it's, you know, especially even also on STD screening. Now you can do a ton of STD screening through the mail. And there are a lot of companies that not only do PrEP and kind of prophylactic treatment, but also do STD swabbing, literally get it in the mail, swab, send it back, get results, get treated. So I don't think anymore that it should be access to care. I think it's just knowledge as it relates to availability and also knowledge as it relates to your community's specific issues that I think everybody should know. Fuck the doctor. You as an individual, you as a patient, you as a client should basically understand all these things and just go there for confirmation and obviously final treatment.
Well, one big hindrance though that comes with this is the insurance issue. For instance, I am on Husky D, which is the Connecticut state insurance. So they really dictate the doctors that I can see and be covered. And like you pointed out so politely that we're in like bumblefuck or whatever. But for, you know, for instance, what about people that are in the Midwest that are on their state's insurance and then they're going to have such a hard time accessing a medical professional that perhaps identify in the LGBTQ plus community or is a little more educated in that. It's very difficult, I feel, when it comes to the insurance aspect of it, when you're being told where you can and can't go.
It is. And I mean, obviously, that's where there's a push for some element of universal care at some capacity to get people access. There are a ton of programs in most major city metropolitan areas that do provide care, even at zero to discounted costs. And, you know, we're talking about your ass or something that's super, super important for you. And the reality is that everybody carries an iPhone. Everybody has the newest AirPods. Everybody's able to spend money on, you know, Travis Scott sneakers. Mm-hmm. And yet, I do think that we need to hold people accountable as well to make sure that they're appropriately looking at health in a way that would be the most cost effective as well. So I do think that on the spectrum of all of that, people that have money, people that don't, there are access to this specific care for each level. And, you know, it's innocuous. And I'm not looking from a cash perspective. The reality is that you can DM me and I give answers all day long from a free perspective, because I think at the end of the day, we owe it to our own community to give back as much as we possibly can.
And knowledge is power. And I feel that what you're doing, allowing your people, which, by the way, your team is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Your social media team is just on point. By allowing your followers to engage you in that way, in such a personal way, and different, you know, non-traditional methods, I think opens up the door and the possibility for other medical professionals to start doing the same, because you don't realize how important it is for someone who may not have access to that coverage to be able to just pick up a phone, which most of us have, and DM a professional that could potentially save your life.
No, it's super. And you know, again, I think it's also spreading the knowledge, because if you're able to give that answer to somebody, then they're able to go back to their community. It just becomes this kind of telephone game. I think one thing, since it's new year, new you, new ass, right? Mm-hmm. I think the key is just really making sure that once a year you get a really, really good sexual history, but also an appropriate evaluation, both internally and out. I think the problem is that, you know, think about it like anything else. Inside and out, if you're taking cock, you need to be evaluated. And whether you're doing pap smears, whether it's anal swabs for STDs, you need a good visualization both in and out to make sure that we're not missing anything. Mm-hmm. There's so many things I see all the time, people that aren't getting appropriate STD screenings. They're only getting blood work. They're not getting anal and oral swabs or urine checks. And it's a silent chlamydia that's been with somebody for a really, really long time and they didn't even know it. Right. Or that they've had anal warts internally and they didn't even know what a pap smear was, or they didn't have that full evaluation. And then I also think on a preventative perspective, as we're all living longer, as we're all bottoming more, you know, the muscles are changing, the laxity is changing, your pleasure is changing, or your partner's pleasure is changing, and really being able to fully evaluate all of this in a systematic and appropriate way gives us an idea of, all right, well, where were you in 2019? Where are you now? Where do you want to go? And how do we make sure that all of that is concording with where you want to be? And that in and of itself, I'm not sure many people, unfortunately, are doing it to that degree as what we're talking about. But I do think just having this conversation keeps pushing people to say, well, why not? And why don't we demand this? And how do I understand and go from there? If you take something up your ass, you should be looked at once a year regardless. And that's where I think the anal pap smears are so important. If your primary care physician isn't doing pap smears, find somebody that is. When you do a pap smear, you're not only looking at HPV, but you're actually looking at the outside. How does it look? How does it function? Do you feel sexy? Do you not? What's the true extent of what's going on? And I say, you know, the asshole is the key to everybody's soul. You have to take care of it.
I got it. Okay. From all of that, what I hear is he's asking me to make an appointment.
ASAP. Yeah.
Your turtleneck looks perfect. You're fine.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. G, I really don't want to keep you, and I do appreciate the fact that you took time out of your day, even after surgery, to come join us here on the
That's
show.
That's dedication.
That is dedication.
You were just in a hole, and you came to deal with these three assholes.
And we
actually
truly...
four. I don't know the one in the back.
Oh, that's his asshole. But you know, I really want to thank you for doing this, because you know you are amazing and you always treat us so well. Your team, by the way, sent us each a kit of this amazing new product, which you have, of course, which is Future Method. We have it here in the studio. So before you leave us, tell us a little bit about it once again, so that our listeners know what it is, how they can get it, and obviously we'll put a lot of that information on our post.
Yeah, you know, as I started to do this, I started to realize that there's no products to support our community at all. And I started to see people that have higher risk of STDs and HIV. And then we started to analyze, how are people preparing for sex? How are they actually engaging sexually? And then what are they doing as like an aftercare? And that really spawned Future Method for me, which was, how do we look at things differently? This is not just put a condom on, because 73% of all gay men don't use condoms. So the thought for us was, how do we start to interject and put products throughout all of those to make sure that people are engaging better and safer? And the first product that we launched with is an appropriate anal douche solution. When you look at water, or you look at enemas from the fleets, etc., they're quite toxic to the inside. They dry people out. They really, really cause a significant amount of chafing and irritation. And the STD risk and HIV risk is quite high because of that. So the first product we wanted to launch with was something that was not toxic, non-irritating, helps from a lubricity perspective, and not only the liquid component, but also how you're delivering it. Most of us actually over-douche, and instead of adding fiber supplementation and diet and exercise, we use these really, really large bulbs, or we use a shower hose that just delivers literally like a fucking fireman, you know, all of this fluid. And it's not only the liquid that you're using that's incorrect, it's the delivery mechanism. So over distending, too much volume, too much time. So the goal for us was, how do we get people to think from an education perspective in a different way, providing them the tools with the right way to engage, preparing, engaging, and then obviously post-care. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's been an interesting ride. You know, a lot of this is, we're just starting not only with this, we've got a lot of really great products coming out, but it's really spearheading a lot of different conversations moving forward. And what you have is a three-pack. They come as three packs with three different packets and an appropriately sized anal douche bowl that's there. And a three-pack retails for $30. A lot of people like it as a starter kit so they could see if they like it and then want to use it. And then we do 12 packs online that retail for $60 for 12. And then I know you're pointing to him, I know. And then a subscription model that I think brings it down to about $54. The key component is just having this, just like we're talking now, of just educating, whether or not you use the product or not. I think it's understanding all of the issues as it relates to our community. And then whether you use that liquid, it's understanding that less is more, and how do you bring fiber into it? How do we bring diet and exercise and kind of think differently? Mm-hmm. And so, yes, of course, we want to push product and we love selling, but we also want education, and that's my ultimate goal. And so if you follow us on the Future Method and all the stuff that we're doing, it's a lot of education so that we make sure that people are engaging better.
And that's something that's really important that you're bringing up, because we had talked about this in the past. Like you said, less is more. And sometimes when people are overusing the Fleet products, they're actually creating a bigger problem. Not only is it drying you out and can lead to transmitting STDs, but if you're using the entire, all the solution that's inside the Fleet, you're pushing it beyond the rectum and then you're going into your intestines, which is going to just lead to more shitting, worse than you thought it was going to do in the beginning.
100%. I mean, I think it's the key component is a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I douched twice, and then I want to do one more time just to make sure. And then that third time, they're like, oh, fuck, I got shit all over the place. And it's because it creates a normal reflex. And the more that you're doing, the more that you're going to get higher up where cock is not going to be. Shit is currently not there. But yet you and everybody else have societal pressures, even I do, where, you know, it has to be super squeaky clean. But I think the key is not only thinking of anal health, but thinking of gut health. Mm-hmm. And gut health is, you know, diet, exercise, fiber supplementation, understanding that if it's like Taco Tuesday, you know, no matter how much douching you're going to do, you may not necessarily be clean, right? And so with that being said, it's also analyzing your own body habitus and your own system to make sure that you're doing everything as best to your ability. And that's the different line of thinking on the Future Method.
So here's what I'm thinking. One, thank you so much for sending them. I can't wait to actually try it out. I haven't had a chance, but I'm gonna. And then we're gonna review it on the show, obviously, as we do. But I'll reach out to your team so maybe we can develop a discount code for our Gay Talk listeners.
That would be awesome. Totally, totally, totally. And thank you so much, obviously, always for supporting. And next time, let's do a fun story and get kinky and go from there.
Sounds great.
Absolutely. And thank you again for joining us. You have yourself a wonderful evening, and we will see you next month. We have a date with the hot doctor, as always.
That's it. Thanks, guys. Take care.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Bye.
All right, guys. Well, that was the incredible, as always, Dr. G. He's just awesome. We love this guy. But anyway, these kits are available. You can go to futuremethod.com to look at all what's available for them and get your own, get your hands on them, and use them because they are good for you. They're pH balanced and they just work. So anyway, that was an amazing conversation.
As always.
And yeah. And so I think he gave us our title for today's episode.
Must have written it down
because I was like, I didn't catch it.
I did. So I did, and it's got new year, new us.
There it is.
New you, new year, new hole.
New hole. Yeah.
New hole. Okay, fine. Then we'll put hole.
Okay. Anyway.
With a capital H.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, we do have some stories that we didn't get to cover during the first half, obviously, because we were talking about all the other crazy things that were happening. We do have a little bit of time if you guys want to jump in and mention some of the things that you have, or do you want to go and close out the show? I'll leave it up to you guys.
Close the show.
Yours is really quick.
I mean, that is true.
Go for it.
I need to. Well, we had actually talked about it when Trish was not here. When Elsie was on, talking about year in review, about nations that have really stepped up to bring marriage equality. So today, on January 13th, it is official that Northern Ireland will begin legalized same-sex marriage starting today. The first weddings are due to be held, I believe, February 10th of this year. Yes, as soon as February 10th. So with that being said, with the Parliament of Northern Ireland had collapsed, and with no government there, the UK really stepped in, and their parliament was the one that decided that both same-sex marriage and abortion are to be legal in Northern Ireland, which is interesting because it's an incredibly religious nation.
That's right.
Just as well as Ireland was, which was the first nation on the planet to legalize same-sex marriage by popular vote, this incredibly Catholic nation. It's very important to point out that now they will legally recognize all marriages across Northern Ireland, as well as same-sex partnerships and abortion.
And it's interesting that you mentioned religion, because a lot of people don't realize that although Northern Ireland is part of the UK,
right,
there is a different dynamic at play, right? Ireland, Northern Ireland, the predominant religion in Ireland is Catholic. And when you think about the predominant religion in the continental UK, whether that be, you know, England or London or Wales or Scotland, they tend to be more Protestant. And, you know, the Church of England was a Protestant church. And so when they look at these things, they look at them from a different angle, from a different view. And which is why I think that also Northern Ireland took a little longer to get with the program, because of the fact that they're a Catholic-based area rather than a Protestant. And which is, I think, why the UK Parliament had to step in and say, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Which is also fascinating, that the fact that Ireland legalized abortion.
Yes.
With being such a staunch Catholic nation. I just wanted to point out that Patrick Corrigan, the Northern Ireland director of Amnesty International, said, quote, "For far too long, LGBT plus people in Northern Ireland have been treated as second-class citizens." He continued to say, "So today is an incredible moment for same-sex couples who can finally marry and have their relationships recognized as equals. Today and the weddings which will follow next month mark the culmination of years of campaigning, and we thank our colleagues in the Love Equality Coalition and every supporter who helped make this day a reality."
That's amazing. Well, congratulations to Northern Ireland for joining the rest of Ireland and, of course, the UK in allowing same-sex marriages. It's a beautiful thing. And we're super excited. Yeah. So we're going to throw it over to Trish.
Looking forward to February for those first weddings.
That's right.
And that's actually on my dad's birthday. So yes, we can celebrate that too.
Trish?
Yeah. What?
Do you have anything?
I know you do, because
she's going to wait for us to close out the show first.
And then she'll be like, can I say one more thing?
I was going to read some stuff, but I think this was a really good episode.
Yeah, let's call it a day.
I don't want to get all soapboxy because I've already been slammed for that. So
true. Let's not go there.
Hey, you know, to each their own.
That's right.
Thank you for reaching out and letting us know how you feel. And
absolutely.
I appreciate that. A lot of things are still happening. A lot of things are still going on, and I feel no need to dive into anything right now. But Tom, you do have a story if you wanted to cover it.
I do. Well, just very quickly mention the publication that published this story, in where it describes that any Democratic frontrunner could potentially beat the president, hashtag not mine, Trump, if all unregistered LGBTQ peoples were to vote in 2020. So unless you're a Republican, if you're not, and you have not registered, you know, some of these state deadlines to be able to do so for primaries are approaching. Please make sure that you reach out to your local voting people and find out when the deadlines are for your state, register and vote. The only way we're going to see change in our community and, of course, change in the White House is if we register, go out there and do our constitutional right
and duty
and do our duty and vote and, you know, make the change, be the change that we want to see. But we're only going to be able to do that if we walk our asses into these voting booths and vote this.
And we have living proof that that is possible to get this change, because 2018, we flipped the House back into hands of Democrats from the corrupt Republicans. And it's very important. If you look at tomorrow, out of Iowa, exclusive to CNN, will be the first Democratic presidential debate held only weeks before the first ballots are being cast at the caucus in Iowa for the first primary. So it's very important. Definitely tune in to CNN tomorrow. I believe it starts at 8 o'clock. Watch the debate. Stay with it. There are still some high profile candidates on board. There are others who have been dropping out. I mean, Cory Booker.
Cory Booker just dropped today.
Exactly. Who is one, a very prominent person of color, but as well as an incredible LGBT ally. So it was it's sad to see him go, but eventually, as the time continues, you're going to start to see more candidates dwindle away, especially with the Iowa caucus just weeks away.
Well, unfortunately, you know, with Cory Booker ending his campaign, he is or was the last person of color on the entire 2020 presidential.
Andrew Yang's still on there, Andrew Yang,
but he's not technically a person of color. I mean, he is a minority. But he's not a person.
He's
of
an
color.
Asian American.
When I think of, like, for example, Kamala Harris, right. Or anyone that represents people of color at this point, there's no one there. All you have is a panel of white people at this point. I'm sorry, I don't mean to say that in such an abrasive way, but that's the reality.
I mean, but there is still a diverse stage up there. You have a gay man, you have women, you have Jews. Or a Jewish person, not Jews. I think he's the only one. Yeah, Bernie's the only one. And currently, right now, they're all between Bernie, Biden, Warren, and Buttigieg. Those four are really they're really holding the front
three,
runners.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, I think, but here's the thing:
who's it's the like, one that's not really holding?
Buttigieg. I don't think he was leading in Iowa. I love him.
Leading in Iowa. He took the lead. Remember, on a couple episodes, Buttigieg had the lead among likely Democratic voters in the caucus for Iowa. But now it's the four of them who are really holding on, pretty much polling at the same percentage.
You know, I would like to say to the remaining candidates, it's very important if you ever listen to the show, which I probably don't think you would. But if you did, it is important to understand that you are white individuals who will be representing the people of America. And if you're seeking the vote of black and brown people, it is important that you, you know, really try to make an effort to understand what it is like to live the life of a black person or a brown person in America and really speak to those issues. Currently, I'm not seeing a lot of that in the debates that we've had thus far. And, you know, with the removal, like I said, with the ending of their campaigns of Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, it's just going to become that much more difficult for that conversation to make its way into debate stages.
That brings up a good point, something that's been sort of bothering me, and this might not be a good thing to bring up, but I'm sick and tired of hearing the black vote, the gay vote, the this vote, the that vote. I feel like we should stop constantly catering to a certain demographic because we need their vote. We should cater to what we believe in, and those who believe in our you know, thoughts and our beliefs should vote the way they want to vote. And I understand that, yes, there will always be, you know, a leaning in each demographic, but the reality is, I don't think our candidates should be catering to the black community or the gay community or this community. I think that they should be preaching to the American people, and the people that believe in their mission should vote for them. And I'm really sick of people pigeonholing people.
Well, that's what it's going to be. And when the thing that's so interesting about the Democratic Party is you have these movements that are coming through. You have the progressive movement. You have the Green New Deal movement. But at the end of the day, there's that saying that will always stick: demographics are destiny. And you, unfortunately, you have to chase those demographics because mm-hmm. each different demographic is going to have their end goal. They're going to have their end game that they want to accomplish.
I guess I just wish that when they were speaking about it, because even having conversations with my family, I was talking about Pete Buttigieg. My father was like, he's great, but he's not going to get the black vote.
Right, a lot of people say right. that.
No, I'm not disagreeing. All I'm saying is I wish we would stop segregating the American people. Like, it's not about the black vote. It's not about the gay vote. It's about the American vote and what the American people want.
But also, it's important to point out there in Buttigieg's, that's a hard one to say, his defense, he won re-election with 75% of the vote of South Bend, Indiana. There's a huge number of black voters in South Bend, Indiana.
Well, and listen, I don't want to stray from the conversation of what this particular story was highlighting, but I just want to point out there that, you know, it is unfortunate that when you think about, you know, the black vote or the people of color or minorities, you know, you're only visiting these spaces or going to interact with these communities when you need their vote.
And that's my point.
Right. When the vote is done. Right. When voting is done, it's like you don't see these white people showing up in black churches or in black spaces to
vice versa
to sort of kind of say, hey, I'm still here. I'm still listening. I'm still active. What do you have to say? How can I help? Right.
That's why we should come at it from a wholehearted perspective. But we are a melting pot. We're not we are all these communities, but we are all one big community. And that's the American people.
I mean, I do understand the black vote thing where you're saying where they go for the photo ops where they're right. going to a yeah. black church or they're yeah. serving them food or something like
even
that.
Even like the Salvation Army bullshit.
And we had talked about that, but I will say of the ones who are standing up on stage, Elizabeth Warren and both Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders have been monumental on showing their support for all different communities, mm-hmm. not just when they're on the campaign trail. And their voting record shows.
And they've been very vocal on that. And, you know, all I can say is this. It's if you're going to really engage. Don't just show up for a photo op. Don't just show up because, you know, oh, I need this vote. Just do what you got to do. And then once this is done, stay active in your community and seek these communities and try to really better relationships with everyone for the sake of this nation. We need to do that. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to point something out very important from this article, which is says that, you know, right now, one-fifth of the queer adults in the U.S. aren't registered to vote. And that's a hard, large number. And so all we ask is, you know what, do your research, find a candidate that, you know, that you like, that aligns with what you're believing in and what you need and meets your needs, go register and go vote. Because it is the only way that we're going to be able to make changes in 2020.
Absolutely.
So
I'm ready.
I'd have one thing I just want to show. It was on the it was like one of the side stories on the with that article. DJ Qualls, who was one of the stars from Road Trip, he's in Z Nation, Memphis Beat, and Supernatural. He came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah, so he tweeted, it's 11:20 p.m. I just got on stage at Jim Jefferies' show in San Diego. Yep, I'm gay. Been gay this whole time. Tired of worrying about what people would think of me. Tired of worrying about what it would do to my career. So I believe he should get some claps for mm-hmm.
finally.
Agreed.
I wonder if that has anything to do with Kate McKinnon, because it kind of sounds like what she said. She's like, am I gay? Yep. Still am.
Yeah. She's amazing. But, you know, overall, like I said, you know, it's a great, great conversation, and we should take this one home. So we have a couple of things that we're going to cover before we wrap it up and call it a day. So the first one is, of course, our gay talk term.
No.
Is it? No? You want to do Mama Kim? Oh, I'm an intern. Sorry.
Yeah.
So
she'll get it eventually.
Yeah. Go for it.
All right, everybody. It is time for Mama Kim's Minute. All right, number one.
Hey.
All right.
And go.
Number one, Billy Porter makes history as first man featured on Allure's cover.
Yes, queen.
Yes.
Number two, America's most anti-gay pastor says God set Australia on fire because the country banned him.
No, because you're stupid.
Three, young gay man prepares for his first dance, The One You Will Never Forget, which is a short film. Adorable. I cried. Four.
Of course you did.
A gay bar is holding a 12-hour drag event to raise funds for Australia's deadly brush fires. That's Mama Kim's Minute, everybody.
You did it in 32 right. seconds with minimal cursive, but it did show its face.
Which, Australia's, yeah. Thinking about Australia's fires, my God, it's just horrendous to see so much devastation and so much loss. But the videos of people and animals.
And animals.
Oh, my God. It softens my heart in a way when I see, you know, men and women and people in Australia really stepping up and trying to save their wildlife. It is absolutely beautiful to see. Keep doing that and stay strong. I think, you know, I think at this point the worst is behind you, but, you know, it's time now to rebuild and let Mother Nature start fresh again. But keep doing what you're doing for your animals, because it really just jerks my heart, and it feels so good to watch. I mean, in a very endearing way, to see how you guys
feels
you
good know, to watch the support,
the yeah. support for yeah. the, for yeah. the animals, yeah. the kangaroos, and oh,
and the monkeys,
everything. It's just amazing.
Did you see that one article about them dropping a bunch of vegetables down for the animals?
Yes.
I'm like, they're dropping all these carrots down there. I would have just been like the bunny with my ass in the air. I've been like, carrots are coming.
Of course. You know, and then there was another story that I had read today, earlier today, about wombats. Is that what they're called?
Uh-huh.
Wombats.
Sharing their holes.
Sharing their holes with other animals, you know, because they build these elaborate layers underground. And so they were allowing other animals to come in. I mean, I don't know how true this is, but these are just stories that are coming out. And it's just to hear that, you know, nature has a way of just making sure they survive.
That is sweet.
You know?
See, if people were like airdropping supplies for like Trish, she'd be like, drop mimosas.
Mimosas.
Legit. Legit.
Mimosas and some of these.
Yeah. Exactly.
She'll be good. All right. So shall we move on to our Gay Talk term?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right, everybody. This week's Gay Talk term, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com
is Yankee Yawn.
I love it.
Yankee Yawn is open fish mouth of a climaxing man.
I love it.
Yankee Yawn.
So,
thank you to our guest.
To our guest. Thank you. Yeah. He chose today's Gay Talk term.
For seeing the future. So, on this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com.
You made it for the .com. Thanks, Trish. So, when January 13th, the year 1958, here in the U.S. of A., the United States Supreme Court ruled on a gay issue. The U.S. Supreme Court issued the landmark decision, One Inc. versus Oleson. The court rules that, one, the homosexual magazine is not an obscene publication, which kept it from being shut down.
Well, shit, if Playboy wasn't, of course one is not going to be.
Well, it's 1958, though.
Well,
1958.
True.
So that's on this day in gay history for you.
All right, well, there you have it. All right, people, ladies, gents, if you love our show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which gives you access to this amazing video live feed where you can see Trish and her turtleneck and her extra chin.
Extra chin, yes.
And of course, Chris eating his mother's steak tips or meat tips?
Beef tips? Steak beef tips?
They're all... He's eating all the tips. And of course...
Oh,
you know,
I should have put my turtleneck on the whole episode.
And... And that tip. And so you can get access to all that good
honey.
Stuff. You can support us. Any denomination of a dollar or more will do. We collect those denominations every month. And thank you for those who currently support us. Chris?
Absolutely. Next week, we're very excited to welcome Dr. Steve to the show to discuss his book, Pride Leadership Strategies for the LGBTQ+ Leader to be the king or queen of their own jungle.
Nailed it. Love
have them right here.
All right. And thank you to our guest, Dr. Goldstein, for joining us today. Visit BespokeSurgical.com for more information on the great doctor. For more information on the Future Method, visit FutureMethod.com, the solution for clean, confident play for everyone.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, Chris.
Speaking of clean, confident play, can we please put a rubber on this?
Mm-hmm. I have tea for you, baby.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen, as always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, give it a try.
And if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us and leave us a question via voice message. We can answer those for you on our show. Just call 334-GAY-TALK, or if you need those digits, they are 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6, 6:30, 5:30, 7:30. Whenever we go live, you'll get a notification. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com.
Before we go.
Yes.
Trish, I'm taking your spot. Don't forget, new you, new year, new hole.
That's right. And ladies and gents, with that, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye! Wait!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.